And so I wanted to tell you something that maybe will break the ice a little bit. This man and woman was celebrating their 47th wedding anniversary. And they'd been out to dinner, and they was talking and reminiscing about the 47 years of marriage. And all of a sudden, the woman, he said, "Well, we've had a good marriage." He says, "I enjoyed being married, and so maybe, probably, I would get married again." And they sat there a little while, and directly she asked him, said, "Well, would you let her sleep in our bed?" He said, "Well, it's a fairly new bed." He said, "There's nothing wrong with it." So, yeah, she would probably sleep in the bed. She said, "Well, would you let her drive my car?" He said, "Well, it's a fairly new car." He said, "There's nothing wrong with it." So, yeah, she would probably drive the new car. She said, "Well, would you let her use my golf clubs?" He said, "Probably not. She's left-handed." I apologize. Pastor Mel and Pam, it is really a great honor and a privilege to be able to share this morning. I know I pastored for several years, and I was very protective of who spoke in my pulpit. And so it is an honor. Jesus gave an introduction to his disciples one time of someone to come. He was departing them and leaving them, and they were somewhat anxious about that departure. Jesus said to them, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." And then he said this. He says, "I'm going to ask the Father that he will give you another counselor to be with you forever. That counselor is the Holy Spirit." And Jesus asked the Father that he would send him, dispatch the Holy Spirit to be a counselor to you forever. And that counselor is here this morning, and he wants to counsel you. Some of you are here maybe with a heavy burden. Some may be here just out of curiosity. Some of you are here out of tradition. Some of you are here to learn of God. And I tell you that we all ought to be here to hear from the counselor and what he wants to say to us personally. What I say is only given by the Holy Spirit to help your mind to be open to the counsel that he wants to give you. I may not even speak to your need, but the counselor knows it, even if you think it's a hidden need. And he wants to talk to you about it today. But he's a gentle counselor. He will not force himself upon you. He will only communicate to you as you allow him to communicate with you. Would you like to hear from the counselor this morning? Hear from the counsel of the Most High? If you would, I would like for you to all bow your heads. And I would like for you to join with me in this prayer if your desire to hear from the counselor. So would you repeat with me? Holy Spirit, come to me. I open my ears and my mind to hear from you. Speak, Holy Spirit, directly to my life, to my needs, to my concerns, to my burdens, to my faults. Give me guidance. Give me counsel. Give me wisdom. And Holy Spirit, if I hear your voice, I will not harden my heart against you. Come, Holy Spirit. Amen. When I pastored, I had many translations of the Bible, And usually when I was doing a sermon, I would open several of them and I'd read them to get what I could get from the message that was there. And there was a pastor that gave me the New Life Testament. It's not a translation, but it's a sort of a paraphrase of the Bible that individuals that have not had much learning can read the Bible, and it's pretty well accepted that they can understand what it's trying to say. And I want to read to you out of the first chapter of Luke, verses 3 and 4. And here's what the New Life Testament says. It says, "Dear Theophilus, I have looked with care into these things from the beginning. I have decided it would be a good to write them to you one after the other, the way they happen. Then you can be sure you know the truth about the things you've been taught." And as I was looking at this, and I was deciding what I was going to share and what I wanted to say, I turned over to Luke in the 15th chapter, and so this is going to be what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Luke tells us a story about Jesus, who tells us parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. But in the parable of the lost son, there are two parables. The first is the loving father, and the second is the unforgiving son. And I don't want to talk to you about the unforgiving brother, but I do want to share with you about the sheep, the coin, and the father. I want you to see this. The sheep was lost, but it still had value. The coin was lost, but it still had value. And the loving father is there waiting with his arms open, waiting for his son to come home. All three parables are a picture story of God's grace. You know, when Jesus tells a parable, he's really painting a story that you can see. Just picture and look at the lost sheep. It's out there in the woods, lost, and doesn't know where it's lost. The lost coin is a painting of a woman with a lamp, and she's sweeping the house and maybe on her hands and knees looking for the lost coin. The picture story about the lost sheep is all about God's grace. The picture story about the lost coin is about the Holy Spirit and how the lost are found. The last painting is the loving father running down the road and embracing his son and forgiving him. I'm not going to read all three parables this morning, but I do want to read the parable of the lost coin. So if you would turn with me to Luke, the 15th chapter, the 8th verse, I want to begin there. And it says, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does she not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which was lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." What I want to share with you this morning is not to make you feel bad or condemn you if you have not engaged others with the gospel message. But I want to inspire you, and I want to encourage you to be able to share the gospel message. I want to share some stories from old life, some with success and some with failure. But the most important thing you will find in the Bible, excuse me, are the biblical principles that you can apply in your life. If you take time to read the Bible from the beginning to the end, from Genesis to Revelation, it is God, and Jesus, and the Holy Spirit reaching out to mankind that you can have a relationship with him. I believe that as you apply these things in your life, you see in the Bible, you will not only be able to share your faith, but also bring others to Christ. I believe that's the most important thing that Jesus has asked us to do in our walk with Him. And that is this, to tell others about Him. In other words, to be a witness. Teaching them, or it says, go for there. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18-20, He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. In Mark, the 16th chapter, in verse 18, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. This is a commandment from Jesus himself, and it is always referred to as the Great Commission. Why is it when you start talking about evangelism, people cringe or get uptight? The ones that are saved and the ones that are not saved, they both get uptight when evangelism is brought up. When it comes to sharing the gospel, it seems like we plan for failure more than we do for success. Statistics show that 95% of all Christians have never led another person to Christ. The Great Commission has instead become the Great Omission, and that's a shame. I want to tell you something that may shock you, but I really believe it to be true. To not share your faith, to not tell others about Jesus Christ, can be an actual sin. When we think of sin, we think of breaking the commandments and doing wrong things, and that is sin. The Bible speaks of the sin of commission and the sin of omission. The sin of commission is doing what you should not do, and the sin of omission is not doing what you should do. James 4:7 says, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. Let's say that you were walking down the street and you heard people screaming. Let's say you looked in their direction and you saw a house on fire. Someone cried out, there's someone in that house. Let me ask you a question. Would you not give it a thought and walk on by or not help them? Or that would be downright wrong, but I hope that at least you would call 911. But then you might run into the house and try to rescue that person. To do nothing would be outright wrong. Yet, every day, we walk by people we know and don't know who are without Christ, and we don't do anything to help them. For some reason, we just keep walking and never share what God has done in our lives. You know, we all have something that we can share that the Lord has done for us. Back in 1976, 3 months after Chris and I were new Christians, and the Lord had so graciously forgiven us of our sins. On August morning, around 4 o'clock in the morning, I got a call from the fire department that my business was on fire. I thought it was somebody playing a joke. The lady on the phone gave me her badge number and told me to call 911. And I realized that it wasn't a joke. She told me that a fire chief was at the fire and that he wanted to see me. We got up and we drove to my business. And when I got out of the car, I saw a police officer and I asked him where the fire chief was. And he pointed, he said, he's over there standing by that other police officer. I walked over to where they were, and I told him who I was. The police officer reached behind him, and he had a pair of handcuffs, and he said, you have the right to remain silent. And I said, no, you're not going to put them on me. He said, but we suspect you set the fire. I said, how could I have set the fire? I was home in bed. After we both calmed down, much discussion, I agreed to go to the fire department at 8 o'clock and give a deposition. I immediately called my attorney and told him what was going on, and he told me not to say anything until he got there. When I got to the fire department that morning, the fire chief and two investigators, a police officer, and my attorney was there. We began the deposition and they recorded it as we spoke, and during the deposition, they asked me, did you set the fire? I don't know why I said this, but I told them after the deposition is over and the recorder is off, I would tell them why I didn't set the fire. When they turn the recorder off, and I begin to tell them why I couldn't have set the fire. You see, 3 months ago, I gave my heart to the Lord. I at one time pushed the doors of the church open, and I said I would die and go to hell before I ever walked back into another church. I started drinking and using drugs to deal with the things that had happened. I was miserable with bitterness. I literally got a rope and I tied it to my forklift and I was going to hang myself. The morning I knelt at the altar on May 5th, 1976, I said, Lord, I'm 36 years old and I've made a total mess of my life. So that's why I couldn't have set the fire. There were 5 grown men sitting there that morning in the fire chief's office with tears running down their cheeks. Within a few days, I started getting summons from insurance companies, attorneys representing the companies I had done business with to give a deposition. I started giving the depositions to them, and the first question was always asked me, why did you want the recorder to be turned off? I was able to share my testimony many times. At times, there were more tears shed. I left the fire chief's office that morning on my way home, and when I pulled out of the parking lot, I heard a voice saying, Joe, this is what I want you to do. I actually said out loud, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to be my witness. You know, if you've been saved and born again, you have something to share. You were lost, you had value, but now you have worth. For you, it may be how you got your job because it may seem impossible at the time to get that job. Or maybe the Lord has healed you. Or maybe you would like just to say that Jesus died on the cross for them. The last thing that God wants is for any man or woman to go to a place called hell. That's why he sent Jesus to live a perfect life, to die a perfect death on a cross for our sins. And it didn't stop there. He rose from the dead so we can be raised to eternal life. That's why God chose us to tell others about him. That's where you and I come in. God wants to use you to tell others so they can know him. But you might protest and say, God would never use someone like me. He can and he will if you let him. It could happen before this very day is over with. He will not force you to share your faith, but he will help you. And when you take that step of faith, he will empower you and use you. You know, when you begin to share what God has done for you and you see people's lives changed, you will see their excitement and their joy. You will never be the same again. God is looking for people who he can show himself to. He is looking for someone who will simply say, Lord, use me. So I ask you the question, will you be that person? You might be amazed of how the Lord will use you. In Luke 15:7, Jesus tells us that there is joy in heaven over every sinner who comes to repentance. If there's joy in heaven when someone is saved, then there will be joy for us having to be a part of it down here. You know, Chris and I had the opportunity of being life group leaders in our homes for 2 years. And we started, there were between 16 and 27 people coming. It took 3 or 4 months for some of them to start to open it up and sharing things in their life. There was one lady who was coming who began to share her life with us. She had been through all kinds of things. She had been married to two men at the same time, and they were all living together. Now, she shared the things in her life she couldn't believe that God loved her. We sometimes would cry with her and sometimes laugh with her and at times pray with her. But we saw her to begin to grow spiritually, and it brought joy to all of us. I told you this because when you take time out of your life to help someone and you see them grow spiritually, you will be blessed. It can and will be a joyful thing to tell others about your relationship with the Lord and explain how they can have one too. In 1 John 1:4, John wrote that our joy may be complete by sharing the message of Jesus Christ. You know, God could reach people without us, but instead, He has chosen to work through us. He seems to go out of His way to find the most unlikely candidates to accomplish His purpose. We can go to the Old Testament, the story of Moses, and God called him to go to Pharaoh, and he told God he couldn't do it. He said, I'm not able. I'm slow of speech. I can't do it. But God used him and equipped him to lead the Israelite nation out of Egypt. Think of all the ones that God used, those who had failed in life. Peter had denied him. Noah got drunk. Abraham was old. Jacob was a liar. And David had had an affair. No matter what you've been through or done, the Lord can and will enable you to do what He's asked. You might say, Pastor Joe, I'm not qualified. I'm not gifted or talented. I want you to know something. You're that person that God is looking for. I know this because He chose me. I know that I'm not very smart, and I sometimes do not have the self-confidence to let the Lord use me the way that He wants to. Paul in 2 Corinthians 4:7, he says, the transcendent power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. You may not feel qualified, but God is not looking for ability as much as He's looking for availability. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You know, when I took my first church, and I'd only been a Christian for about 2.5 years, I went there with excitement, and I preached the fourth Sunday, and I went home that day, and I threw my Bible on the kitchen table, and I told Chris, I said, I've preached everything I know. That week, I found a rock in a field not too far from the church. It was a rock about this tall, and it was probably about 10 feet long and about 4 foot wide. I'll never, never forget that rock. That rock that week was about 2 blocks from the church out in a field. I went out there and I crawled up on that rock. Me and the Lord had a long talk that day. He told me that He was wounded for my transgressions. He said, I'm with you forever. I'll not leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will teach you. I will guide you in all that you do. He's look to me and I will fill you with my Holy Spirit to preach the word. There were a lot of tears shed that day on that rock that I've never forgotten. But I left there excited about what God was going to do as I put my trust in Him. You know, most of us have gone to church week after week. You have read your Bible. You have read Christian books. God has not blessed you with all the messages you have heard and the books you have read, so you can hoard it all to yourself. You know, most of us have seen the TV program on TV, Hoarders. Sometimes we as Christians can be the same way. hoarding all that God has given to us and not sharing it with others. We need to get this in our heads that sharing our faith is very important. We need to understand that we are blessed to be a blessing to others. I want to tell you something, and I think you probably already know it. People know if you really care about them. When Chris and I lived in Albuquerque, we was in the floor covering business, and there was a homeless man that was always by one of my stores. It seemed that he was mad at everybody. He was really downright mean. If he see you, he would throw things, he would curse you. One day I saw him and I asked him if I could help him with anything. He stopped. There I was, face to face with him. I was scared, and I didn't know what he might do. But I asked him, I said, could I help you? I said, do you need food? Do you need money? Do you have any idea what he did? He thanked me. After that, when we saw each other, he would say hi. I would ask him if everything was okay. This went on for some time, and the last time I saw him, I asked him, I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm okay. Then he thanked me, and he said, God bless you. People can tell if you really care about them. A child knows it, and even a dog can tell. So I ask you a question. Do you care about people who do not follow the Lord? Those that are hurting, the tired, the outcast, the lonely, the depressed, the broken, the poor, the rich, the homeless, those that are in your family who are lost. Sometimes you don't want to be around them, and they're not very pleasant to be around. Have you ever lost something of great value? You search until you find it, just like the shepherd who lost the sheep. It was very important for the shepherd to go out and look for the sheep. You know, they're defenseless animals. They can't run very fast. They do not have teeth to speak of. They don't have claws to scratch with. They're basically a leg of lamb for the taking. And the only thing missing is the mint jelly. Come on, pay attention. You know, the sheep are among the dumbest animals on earth and constantly getting themselves into trouble. And don't take it as a compliment when the scripture says in Isaiah 53:6, we are all like sheep gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And when he finds the lost sheep, he comes back filled with joy. Jesus says there's more joy in heaven over a lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and have it straight away. Just like the shepherd, we should be looking for others that are not saved and tell them what God has done for us. Then Jesus tells a story about a woman with a lost coin, and it had great value. But Jesus tells us that he searched until she found it. Then she called her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I had lost. Then Jesus said, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Then he tells the story of the prodigal son. We've heard the story many times. No matter how many times that we hear it, we can learn from it. It's a story of a father who had two sons, a story about a boy who went, according to Jesus, to a far country and spent his money on wild living. He got in his new car and he headed out. He rolled into town with all his money. He made a lot of new friends, but his money ran out and so did his friends. He hit rock bottom and ended up feeding pigs. He got so desperate that he was thinking about eating pig food. Then the Bible says he came to his senses and he said, my father's hired hands have it better than me. I'll just go home and tell Dad I'm not worthy to be called his son, but at least I can work for him. The scripture tells us that he headed home. But there is another story here, and it's a story about a father that missed his son. Let's look at it from the father's point of view. The story could be called the parable of the loving father. He loved both of his sons with all his heart, but one day his youngest son took his money and ran. One day this boy was part of the father's life. The next day he was gone, maybe for good. I know what it's like not to having one of your children anymore. As he walked into his son's room, the memories of times they had been together would flood his mind. The father must have been fell off financially because he had servants, so this boy had wanted for nothing. We don't know how long the boy was gone. The Bible doesn't say. It may have been weeks, months, years. We just don't know. But the father never stopped loving his son. Here's the point I want to make. Jesus is telling us the Father in the story is like our Heavenly Father. When we are sinners apart from Him, He misses us and He longs for us to return. And that's because He loves us. Then one day the Father was sitting on the porch. He saw somebody coming down the road. He stood up and he stepped down off the porch and he started walking across the yard. Then he said, I think that's my son. He was not as young as when he had left. Long gone was his youth. Sin had taken its toll from the things he had been through. Maybe his health was gone. He looked much older now from the poor choices that he has made. The scripture says the father ran to him. He took off down running down the road. He threw his arms around him and he kissed him. The son had written a speech and he had memorized it. And he said, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Please just hire me as a hired hand. Your hired hands have it better than I do. His son had no idea what was about to happen. The father cried out to the servants, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Bring the fatted calf and let's eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and now he's alive again. He was lost and is found. Have you ever been to Disneyland? I have had the opportunity to be there 5 or 6 times. First time I was there, I was in my early 20s. Things are a lot different now. My kids were there. They had lots of fun. I had fun. Came time to leave. Didn't want to leave, but we had to. When Chris and I were in Florida, we decided to go to Disney World, and the first complaint was that it cost too much. Once we got in, we had to get something to eat, and we ate too much. Then we started walking around. We went to Tomorrowland and then Fantasyland and then the rest of all the lands. By then, I started looking for Napland. It was starting to get hot. The lines were too long and I had to wait 60 minutes or more for a ride. You know, Disneyland is really a magical place for kids. But I found out something. The favorite time for kids at Disneyland is going in. The favorite time for adults is going out. It may be like going to church, to go as those who have been Christians and churchgoers for many years. You can find yourself taking things for granted. The music's way too loud, Keith. The music's not loud enough. The church is too small. The church is too big. And we meet in a museum. Pastor's sermon's too long. Pastor's sermon's too short. For sure the pastor could dress differently. Then maybe you don't like it when the pastor at the sermon gives an invitation because you've heard it all before. The list of complaints goes on and besides, you want to go to lunch. I have something for you that you may see things differently. Bring someone with you that's not saved. And when the pastor is preaching, you'll be praying for the pastor to say something that person needs. You'll find yourself praying that he gives an invitation for that one to get saved. Let's just say that the pastor does give an invitation, and that one that you brought to church does get saved. Going to lunch doesn't seem all that important anymore. I want to stop here, but there's one more thing I want to share. In the three stories, the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, I want you to see something. First, the lost sheep. The shepherd went out until he found it. Second, the lost coin. The woman looked until she found it. Then the last, the prodigal son. The father did not go out to find his son. And this is the difference. He waited for him to come home. I can tell you this today. If you've never asked the Lord to forgive you, Jesus is waiting for you. He's not coming to you, not until you come to him. And when you start coming to him, he'll come running to you because he died for you. It's your choice. What will you do? You know, when we started the sermon this morning, I ask you all to bow your heads and pray with me a prayer. The Holy Spirit would speak to you if you had a need in your life. Keith, would you come now? And I know that the Holy Spirit has spoken to you on some level this morning because you've asked him to. Now comes the time that you have a chance to respond. You can find refreshing and surrendering everything to God. You can find wisdom for the situation in that you might be confused. And if you really don't know Jesus personally, all you need to do is ask, and he will forgive you. Would you all bow your heads with me and close your eyes? I want to ask you a question, and this doesn't happen in churches very much anymore. But I want to ask you a question this morning, and I want you to respond by raising your hand. Do you feel that the Lord, the Holy Spirit, has spoken to you this morning? Would you raise your hand? There's hands all over the sanctuary this morning. And as Keith begins to play it, sing, I want you to do something that I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I think that times like this, when the Holy Spirit has spoken to us, that we need to respond. And so those of you that raise your hand this morning, would you just come forward and stand up here, and I want to pray with you as Keith plays and sings or whatever he does. So would you stand with me this morning?